Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. It's Friday, October 15th, 2021. Today, as we do each week, we check in with Publishers Weekly on news from the world of books and publishing. Andrew Albanese, PW Senior Writer, joins me again with his reporting and editorial analysis. Welcome back to the program, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So for 2021, Andrew, the Frankfurt Book Fair is a hybrid event. This week saw 2 days of virtual programming, and next week, publishers, authors, agents, and others will return to the Messe for the first time since 2019.
Yeah, alas, and I'm sorry to say that for the first time in 2 years, for now 2 years in a row, I won't be there. And I know I sound like a big booster of the Frankfurt Book Fair all the time, which I guess I am, but I'm really regretting not being there. I've not made any secret, I don't think, over the years about how much I've valued and benefited from my Frankfurt experiences. And I know that I'm privileged to have had the opportunity to engage with the global publishing community so deeply over the years at Frankfurt that I really miss publishing show dailies, to which you were quite a contributor as well, Chris. I hope in the coming years we really can get our arms around this pandemic so that I can return to the Frankfurt Book Fair, as well as many of our colleagues and peers, and we can help restore the fair to its glory and hopefully write a new expanded chapter, especially given what we've learned about how virtual components can expand the fair's reach. Which brings me to this week. There is a Frankfurt Book Fair. This week was a virtual component. There were two-hour-plus virtual programs from Frankfurt, one on academic publishing, which was pretty good, and one on trade. And my colleague Ed Nwaka has written about the trade session, and you can read his report. It's up on the PW site now. But I think one of the highlights, for sure, of the trade session was a talk on Tuesday with Cyrus Karate, who is the Senior VP of International Sales for Penguin Random House in the U.S. And in that talk, Karate noted a perspective that we haven't really talked about that much amid all the talk about the strong sales for publishers over the last year. And that is that Penguin Random House saw significant double-digit growth in its export markets last year, which he called a silver lining to the pandemic. Now, given Penguin Random House's super strong domestic sales, that's a silver lining on top of a platinum year. But I do take his point that, you know, extending the global reach of PRH books through, you know, more export sales is something that may not have happened if not for the circumstances of the pandemic. And again, my first thought is I cannot wait to have this pandemic behind us, especially in terms of, you know, just the sheer death and the human suffering that it's brought upon the world. But I also confess that we will likely be talking about the impacts, including expanded export sales, positive and negative, of this pandemic for many, many Frankfurt book fairs to come, hopefully many in person. Now, Karate added that PRH was also investing heavily in the supply chain, and that, of course, is a subject that we talked about last week on this show. He said that Penguin Random House has spent $100 million on the U.S. supply chain and has another roughly $100 million likely to come in the coming years, with initiatives focused on everything from assisting booksellers with managing inventory better to, at one point, he pointed out that, and I'll quote him here, flying books around the world is probably not the greenest thing to do, which is absolutely true. And it's a really nice, socially conscious thing to hear. However, I do wonder if we'd have heard those words if the pandemic had not totally snarled the supply chain and highlighted the fact that, you know, putting books on planes and on boats was actually a pretty popular strategy for the last few decades for publishers. Again, I believe this is something we will be talking about for years to come at Frankfurt Book Fairs. Anyway, lots more from that session. You can read all of Ed Nwaka's coverage on the PW site, which includes takes on the markets in Europe and in South America. And there's also a good conversation at Frankfurt with Peter Warwick, who is recently appointed president and publisher of Scholastic, and Peter, of course, took over after the sudden passing of former CEO Dick Robinson. So you can check that all out on the PW site right now.
And while you won't be in Frankfurt this year in person, Andrew, you will virtually reprise your traditional role as a questioner in the annual CEO panel, which will address a key topic in the book business, consolidation.
Yeah, so the CEO talk this year is going to take place in person in Frankfurt, albeit with some virtual participants, including me. This year, we have two guests. They include Robin Warner, who is the managing director at New York's media acquisition advisory firm, Oaklands De Silva & Phillips, and Klaus Drever of the Munich-based Allianz Group. And, you know, for those who want to tune into the event, it is a hybrid event. It's set for October 20th at 9 a.m. ET, Eastern Time, and you can stream it on the Frankfurt website. You know, the discussion this year, I think, is going to look at the most recent wave of, you know, major mergers and acquisitions around the globe and the continuing evolution of technology and other forces that are sort of reshaping the global book business. In addition to examining the big publishing deals in North America and also in Europe, the session is also going to look at changes in retail, including, for example, the consolidation of bookstore chains in Germany. As usual, the event is being held in partnership between the Frankfurt Book Fair and the Pub Magnet Group, which is a group of leading trade magazines, which includes Publishers Weekly. And it's going to be moderated, as usual, by consultant Rüdiger Wieschenbart, who, of course, has been a guest on this program numerous times. So consolidation, timely, surely a timely topic. And in fact, you know, we're taking on this topic because we actually had to replace our original CEO guest at this year's Frankfurt Book Fair, which was Hachette's Fabrice Bakouche, who had agreed to participate in early September, only to have his appearance undone by what has really become a really complicated takeover situation, I guess you can call it, from Hachette's rival, Vivendi. Anyway, it's a rich topic of discussion. I think it's going to be a good conversation, and it's an important and a timely one. So if you want to join us, please do. Mark your calendars, October 20th at 9 a.m. We're going to be talking about consolidation at the Frankfurt Book Fair.
And so apart from consolidation and supply chain challenges, another question certain to be on the lips at Frankfurt Book Fair in the halls and on the calls is whether the ongoing run of strong sales since 2020 will continue. Recent third quarter numbers, though, suggest maybe not.
Yeah, so after posting what I would call simply an astounding 18.5% increase for the first 6 months of 2021, unit sales of print books declined just slightly, but they declined 2% in the third quarter compared to the same period last year in 2020. And this is, of course, to outlets that report to NPD BookScan. But I want to say right up front that this is not terribly alarming. And despite the quarterly drop, unit sales are still up about 11% for the first 9 months of 2021, which is a pretty strong year. Now, again, the third period dip was not unexpected, too. In fact, it was quite expected because last year's third quarter, our listeners may recall, was a blockbuster. We saw a number of big adult nonfiction bestsellers. Remember, we had a mix of these Trump-related titles. There was Mary Trump's Too Much and Never Enough and John Bolton's In the Room Where It Happened, as well as a real surge in books on social justice in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, which was led by White Fragility, for example, by Robin DiAngelo, and How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. And also remember, too, that the first half of 2020, well, there were some really soft months in there at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, sales didn't really start to lift off until around May of 2020, June really, which explains the sort of nearly 20% jump from the 2021 first half numbers over the first half of 2020. But, you know, now that we're comparing 2021 to some hot sales months in 2020, the third quarter months, a slight dip, and the slight dip that we saw, about 2%, is really not so bad and actually augurs for a pretty good year. The other thing I'd point out is that nonfiction sales have declined somewhat. There haven't been as many blockbuster Trump books, you might say, but fiction sales remain solid, even though they did cool a bit in terms of their rate of growth in the third quarter. And for me, this is an enormously positive indicator. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, I'm going to go back and remind listeners that until 2020, fiction had been posting declines for years. But the numbers suggest that people are reading fiction again, and a lot of it. And this really is just a wonderful time for literature with an array of great, increasingly diverse authors, lots of great stuff out there. It's really just a fertile period for books. So how fertile? Well, adult fiction sales are up 26.6% over the same 9 months of 2020. And remember, 2020 was a good year too. And while the growth rate was a little bit slower in the third quarter, I think anyone would take 26.6% growth through the first 9 months. Now, the question that I have going forward, and which I hope we can learn more about in the coming months, is how much of this growth comes from power readers. That is, you know, book buyers, people who are already book buyers, who found themselves with a little more time and disposable income and were buying more books. And how much of this new growth is organic growth, right? How much of this is new readers? Because you have to think that whatever spurred this fiction boom during the pandemic, well, we're likely to come back to earth at some point. And the question I have is, did we add more readers, to be blunt? And are we going to come back, when we do come back to earth, are we going to come back to an earth that's at hopefully a bit of a higher level? And I certainly hope that's the case. I know publishers and authors do too.
A couple of weeks ago, Andrew, you reported that Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and California Representative Anna Eshoo had submitted a slate of questions to major publishers about their digital library sales and, more broadly, about their digital sales overall. Now, the congressional members gave an October 7th deadline for answers, and, well, now it's October 15th, so what have we heard?
Well, you'll be shocked to learn we've heard nothing, nothing yet. And I say that because I may well have some information waiting for me in my inbox, or you know, I may get something today. With any luck, right after we hang up the phone, I'll probably get a call of some kind about this. Now, this is not to say, I must point out, that the publishers have not engaged with the lawmakers or that they're intending to blow off these questions entirely. But the fact is, we have not seen answers. And I'm not surprised, because first of all, I thought that October 7th deadline was a bit of an ambitious deadline, because there were a lot of questions. Some of them were very involved as well, I might point out. But at the same time, I think we can expect to hear more about this in the next week or two. But I do remain doubtful that we're really going to get much detail from the major publishers about their digital businesses and their digital library businesses, except perhaps some general responses and some offers to, you know, work with lawmakers on helping them understand their businesses. I don't think they're just going to post this information straight up. Could be wrong. Some of them might. But we will have to see. This, again, is a fluid situation. So we'll look for more reporting on this to come next week and in the coming weeks after that.
And we'll look forward to hearing about it from you, Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer. Thanks for joining me on the program.
My pleasure, as always.
Coming up on the next podcast from CCC, the SDG Publishers Compact commits stakeholders from across the publishing industry to support of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. Sherry Aldous, chief of UN Publications, sees obvious common ground for publishers and the SDGs.
There seems to be really a natural alignment between the values of the publishing industry and those of the Sustainable Development Goals. You know, naturally, publishing already contributes directly to SDG number 4, of course, on quality education. And from there, there seems to be a natural transition towards contributing to some of the other goals. You know, in particular, over the past several years, we've seen, you know, a lot of awareness raising and action taken in favor of diversity and inclusion, and in other areas as well. So we're really very, very inspired by what we've seen from the publishing industry.
Publishers Take on Climate Change, coming on the next CCC podcast. Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts, and please do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.